Let not your heart be troubled. John 14, one verse that we're going to look at this morning, John chapter 14, verse 27. In the hymnal, as you look at that hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," they've got those categories it's under, and it says peace and joy. Peace and joy. We're going to be looking at what Jesus says about peace in John 14, 27. In verse 26, he said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." When you get into the context of this, Jesus has said in chapter 13, he's told his disciples, "I'm about to leave." Peter says in verse 36 of chapter 13, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus said, "Well, where I'm going, you can't follow me now, but you're going to come afterwards." Verse 37, Peter said unto him, "Lord, why can't I come with you now? I'll lay down my life for your sake. Lord, why can't I come with you?" And then it's in chapter 14 where Jesus said, very first words, "Let not your heart be troubled." You know, it used to be that if there was trouble where you lived, you escaped it by going somewhere else. Think about the Puritans, the pilgrims and so forth, who, facing trouble and persecution, they fled it. People say, "That's not right to flee it." Oh, yes. You read the book of Acts, and when persecution came upon Paul and Barnabas, they would flee to the next city. And so they came to America for religious freedom. But what place to escape is left today, geographically? Really, there's not much of an area to go today where you can escape persecution, especially with technology. And I believe that the stage is being set for the Antichrist to rule the world. But just as there were in Jesus' day when he said this, many troubled hearts, obviously so is there today. What place is left for you or anyone else to find peace? But even when there's no place where you can go to find peace, I need you to remember what Jesus said here. Recall this. His peace goes with you. So it's not your geographical location that has to do with a non-troubled heart. With peace. Here's the recipe for a troubled heart. Jesus says in verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled." He says again in verse 27, which we have not yet read. So let's read it. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." Here he says it again. "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The first time that Jesus gives this imperative, "Let not your heart be troubled," the imperative is to believe in God and in his Son, Jesus Christ, in verse 1. Again, what is it that's troubling their hearts? Jesus is about to leave them, and he's told Peter, "You're going to deny me." His departure, he says, should not trouble them, but bring them a wonderful hope. And so he exhorts them to confidence. The present tense of "let not your heart be troubled" is this way. Let not your heart keep on being troubled. But furthermore, that present tense with the negative means to stop something that is in progress. Stop allowing your heart to be troubled. Stop allowing your heart to be stirred up. It's really akin to someone saying, "Get a hold of yourself." But that's not where Jesus stops. He gives the reason. I mean, it's one thing for someone to say, "Get a hold of yourself." But it's another thing when somebody says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Verse 1. And here again in verse 27, I am leaving you my peace. And it's not the kind of a peace that the world's going to give you. My peace I live with. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Sean Hannity, that radio commentator, often closes his program and opens his program with, let not your heart be troubled. But what does he base that upon? I mean, if you look at the political scene, your heart's going to be troubled. What's the solution? He never gives it. He says, just don't let your heart be troubled. Well, thanks a lot. Jesus gives the reason. Here's how you can allow your heart not to be troubled. So think with me this morning. It's not just a crossing your fingers and hoping that somehow I'm not going to be troubled. It has to do with their thinking. And therefore with our thinking. Which is based not just upon having faith, but the object of faith. So in the context, you have this imperative, let not your heart be troubled. To some people, when you say, well, have faith in God, that's just kind of some kind of a trite encouragement. But it's a statement Jesus used. When hearts are troubled, what is the answer? Stop it. And keep on believing in God and in his son, Jesus Christ. The disciples have the problem, same as we, a troubled heart. I know that if somehow we could take each one of you and you were honest enough and we would say, what is troubling you today? If we would go around and have each one stand up and say, here's what's troubling me. The rest of you would be shocked about what people are going through. You would be shocked. The physical pain, the emotional pain, the mental excruciating things that people are going through, you would be shocked. I would be too. These disciples had a troubled heart. That's why Jesus had to say, stop it. Stop it. When Jesus departs, the disciples are saying to themselves, where are we going to go? But from Jesus' perspective, it's not a matter of where we go, but who goes with us. Jesus wants them to see his departure from his perspective. I want you to put yourself in Jesus' shoes, his sandals, this morning. You have a troubled heart? Then Jesus wants you to understand from his perspective. In the previous verses, he wants you to understand his presence, my presence. Verses 25 and 26, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But even when I leave, I'm still going to be with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. So he wants us to understand from his perspective, my presence never leaves you. And then secondly, he wants you to understand my peace. And that's what we're looking at this morning. My peace. Do you see that in verse 27? My peace I give unto you. The disciples have a problem, a troubled heart. I read once where prior to a campaign he was having in a very large city, Billy Sunday wrote the mayor asking for the names of the people who needed help and prayer. And so the mayor sent him the city directory. Because all of us have troubled hearts. Mark Twain once said, from his cradle to his grave, a man never does a single thing which has any foremost object save one, to secure peace of mind for himself. Oh, if I just had peace. want you to see the source of Jesus' peace here in verse 27. The quality of peace is seen in its source. And the source is this. Peace I leave with you. So here's his legacy. I leave. Matthew Henry has an interesting comment on the peace that the Lord Jesus gives. He said, when Christ was about to leave this world, he made his will. His soul he committed to his Father. His body he bequeathed to Joseph to be decently interred. His clothes fell to the soldiers. His mother was left to the care of John. But what should he leave to his poor disciples? He had no silver or gold, but he left them that which was infinitely better, his peace. How can somebody leave peace? Because he says, peace I leave with you. Is it something tangible you can pick up with your hands? It is an intangible that you must pick up with your heart. And even that seems ethereal to us. That's just some statement the preachers make, you know. It's just some statement that Jesus makes. And it's hard for me to, I want something tangible that I can have. But no, you've got to pick it up with your heart. If he leaves it, you've got to pick it up with your heart. I've got to pick it up with my heart since it is given to me as an antidote to a troubled heart. How do you pick it up with your heart? That's where we get to the next point. Not only his legacy, but his treasury. My peace I give. I give. Folks, he not only leaves it, he gives it, which means it's a gift. I give it. I don't have to work for it any more than I have to work for my salvation. I don't have to cross my legs sitting on the floor with my palms up and start chanting something to get this peace because it's already been given to me. He gives it to us, his disciples. Notice how Paul opens almost every one of his epistles to the believers. Grace to you and peace. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He opens Romans with that. 1 Corinthians with that. 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon. Every one of those opens with grace to you and peace. Peace always follows God's grace. Without God's grace, there is no peace. With God's grace, you have peace. He gives it. Since he gives it, how does my heart acquire it? By faith. He said it, I believe it. That's the intangible. John says it in 2 John. And here we read this in Revelation. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace. From him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Note the adjective to the word peace, that second mention of peace in verse 27. Peace I live with you. What's the adjective? My peace give I unto you. I'm giving you my peace. And then he differentiates that. He says, not as the world is going to give you. This is my peace, that which is mine. It is his because he bought it with his blood. It's his peace. It's the peace he exhibits even at this time in the face of betrayal and death. It is my peace, and he is giving it to them. Wouldn't you like to have the peace that Jesus Christ had? He said, I give you mine. It's an inward quietness, an inward assurance, an inward confidence. Jesus speaks of my love in chapter 15, verses 9 and 10. He speaks of my joy in chapter 15, verse 11, and here he speaks of my peace. And those are the first three graces of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, and peace. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So we see his legacy. I leave. We see his treasury. I give. And we see his recipients. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto, it says, his disciples. Peace with God. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's peace with God. Here's the peace of God, which is not possible if you have no peace with God. It is my peace, Jesus says. Again, in the salutations of the epistles, first it is grace to you, followed by and peace. It is the peace of God. Be anxious for nothing, Paul says in Philippians 4 and verse 6. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It'll guard your minds and your hearts. Anxiety driven out. But it's not something we can just conjure. It's not something that we can try to well up within ourselves and say, I need peace. I need peace. You have to receive it. May I say, like you received salvation? You accepted it as a gift? And if Jesus is giving peace, you have to accept it. And yet sometimes we as Christians have a hard time doing that. We say, I know I'm a Christian. Well, how do you know you're a Christian? Well, I accepted God's gift. Folks, here's a gift. Here's the gift. As a believer, Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Then I accept it, Lord, as a gift. So you see the source. Secondly, you see the contrast. Because Jesus declares the difference between the peace he gives and the peace the world shall give. Literally, it's in a future tense. Jesus is saying, there's my peace and there's the peace that the world shall give. So these disciples are going to be faced in the future with a contrast, with a choice. I can either accept the peace that Jesus Christ is giving, or I can try to accept the peace that the world says that they will give to me. So as we look at this contrast, let's look at the counterfeit. It's my peace, Jesus says, versus the world's peace. Which would you like? The Greek word for peace is eirene. And as I looked that up in my lexicon, it puts at the end, it's where we get the word Irene. No one here named Irene this morning, I believe. But that's what, if you meet a girl named Irene, it means peace. Years ago in August 2011, there was a hurricane named Irene. 49 deaths. $13.5 billion worth of damage. It was the name of a hurricane. And that really does reflect what is in most people's lives. They claim Irene even as their life is in turmoil and chaos. Their Irene is a hurricane. The countenance of a person doesn't tell all. Because sometimes there's a smile on the face while a war is taking place within. There's a smile on a face while a hurricane is raging within. And looks can deceive. And I'm not saying that you should wear on your outside what's happening on the inside. Jesus himself said, when you fast, don't put on the fasting face. It is possible that even as it says in Proverbs 14:13, that even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. You know, there was a man who made people laugh. People laughed a lot at him. Robin Williams. And all the while he was trying to make people laugh as a comedian, there was a war raging inside, and he took his own life. I read where Beverly Hills, California, the home of Hollywood stars, has more psychiatrists per square mile than any other community in the world. One psychiatrist for every 171 residents. The world cannot give peace. The world can only give temporary excitement and fleshly satisfaction, which effects are actually opposite of peace. The consequences that men try to escape through mind-altering drugs and alcohol and suicide. It's like somebody said, in the world, peace is something you hope for or work for. But to the Christian, peace is God's wonderful gift. It's received by faith. Unsaved people enjoy peace when there is an absence of trouble. Christians enjoy peace in spite of trials because of the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit. And men wrongly think that if I simply desire peace and talk of peace and put a peace sign on my bumper and a coexist bumper sticker, that somehow I'm going to have it. It's like the Bible says in Jeremiah 6:14, they have healed also the hurt of my people slightly. That word slightly means superficially. They've hurt the daughter of my people superficially, saying, peace, peace, when there is none. But people just think, well, if we talk about peace, and if we march around with signs that say peace, and if we're always, you know, wearing bumper stickers and little, you know, pieces of jewelry that say peace, somehow I'm going to get peace. That's the world. The world has peace talks, peace summits, peace marches, and the United Nations to promote it. All the while, all the nations are fully armed, ready to go at war with each other. One day when Jesus reigns, men are going to take those weapons of war and they're going to pound them into implements for farming. Because there's no need for them anymore. Why? Because the Prince of Peace reigns. And the Prince of Peace, who will reign during the millennium, reigns in your heart right now as a believer. Or at least you should allow him to. There is no peace without the Prince of Peace. The Bible says in Isaiah 48:18, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Think about that. There's no peace unto the wicked. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. The only one who has peace is the one who has my peace, the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one described in Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is whose thinking is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord Jehovah, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Isaiah 26:3 and 4. Perfect peace comes when our focus is off the problem, off the trouble, and constantly on Jesus Christ. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed. It is settled on thee. So there we see the contrast, but then we see the command. Again, let not your heart be troubled is an imperative. It's a command. You say, you can't command somebody to have peace. Then why did Jesus do it? Why did he do it? And again, when he says, let not your heart be troubled, he's saying, stop what is now in progress. If I were to ask you to raise your hands this morning and say, how many of you have some troubled thoughts that are in progress in your life right now? Every one of us could raise our hands about something. Peace is not the absence of war. For then peace would be defined as what it is not. But it is the opposite of war. It is the state of tranquility. It is the state of health. In fact, its opposite is seen in the last part of the verse, and that's where we go now. Let not your heart, what? Be troubled. So, it's an antidote for a troubled heart. Peace of the Lord Jesus Christ is an antidote for a troubled heart. There was a martyr about to be burned at the stake. The executioner expresses his sorrow to the martyr that this martyr does not relent and recant his faith in Jesus Christ because this executioner does not want to execute him. But the martyr says, come and lay your hand on my heart and see if it does not beat quietly. The executioner finds him calm. And the martyr said this to him, now, lay your hand on your own heart and see if you are not more troubled than I am. Then go your way, and instead of pitying me, pity yourself. Jesus is commanding his disciples not to allow their hearts to be troubled. Is this helping anybody here this morning? To be reminded of what Jesus is saying to his disciples here and to his disciples here. It's an emotion he still observes in them. Matthew, Peter, James, John, Bartholomew, Thaddeus. Stop letting your heart be troubled. Stop it. I'm leaving you my peace. It's an emotion he's still observing them, a troubled heart. In fact, such trouble that would result in the last thing, being afraid. Neither let it be afraid. So the command here is an antidote for a troubled heart, and it's an antidote for a timid heart, because that word afraid means timid. It's the only time that verb is used in the Bible. It's never used in a good sense. As fear of God can be used in a good sense. It's always a bad sense. Neither let your heart be timid, neither let it be cowardly. It's the noun is used elsewhere one other time. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has not given us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice. That never comes from God. Timidity never comes from God. Cowardice never comes from God. What does come from God? Peace. And sometimes it's easy to confuse humility with timidity. No. It is that peace that David had as a young man when Saul said to him, when he came to him and said, I'm going to go out and defeat the giant. And Saul said to him, thou art but a youth. To go out against Goliath. Who were the timid ones in that account given in 1 Samuel chapter 17? It was the rest of Israel. Timid, cowardly, fearful. Here's what David said. The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. David didn't have the spirit of fear, timidity, cowardice. David could have said, oh, you're right, Saul, who am I? Who am I? And Saul could have said, oh, you're so humble. It's easy for us to say, who am I? Who am I to teach a Sunday school class? When really you're just too timid to get up and teach? Who am I to give a testimony? Who am I to witness to somebody? Who am I to disciple another believer? Who am I? And people go, oh, how humble you are. No, no, how timid you are. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Who am I to pray publicly? Who am I as a man to lead everybody else in prayer? Oh, how humble you are. No, how timid you are. So I ask you, do you have the peace of God that comes from having peace with God? Or is your heart characterized by trouble and timidity? Jesus said, peace I leave with you. in a time of tremendous trouble. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be timid. Thank you, O Lord, that we have the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ.